shall we give the Lord a big clap of praise? Amen. That's our prayer tonight. The Lord should prepare our young people and even ourselves to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated for a while, a second. I greet you again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many enjoyed the morning service? Hallelujah. Give me this mountain. I enjoy it myself. I told you I listened to my own sermon. And I really had a good time. Sometimes when I'm looking at the computer and I am preaching, and I'll be standing there, I'll be saying, "Preach on, brother." And I have a granddaughter, Edna. He will say, "Grandpa, that is you." I say, "Yes, I know it is me, but I like the way the man is preaching." She just cannot understand why somebody should be saying amen to himself. Say, "Grandpa, that is you. That is you. Stop that." Amen. Since tonight is my last sermon for now, I want to appreciate all of you for your attention and for your cooperation, your response to the word. I really appreciate it. And I want to thank Pastor Baker and Sister Jennifer for the great time they have for me. In fact, it's a strain to take me around, and this afternoon we have to go to the den room. It's a very serene atmosphere. And in fact, I was sobered. Yesterday we went to the prophet's house and I bowed down my head in shame. What a humility of such a great gift. The greatest gift. I say the greatest gift. He's so humble. No wonder he is great. Say, greatness comes from his humility. Ability to look yourself as nobody. And when I look at even my house, it's bigger than his house. And I was ashamed of myself. I say, "God, give us this humility." So I've learned a lot. God bless you, Pastor, and his wife for the gift he has sent to me. And I really enjoy Tucson, Arizona. I used to call it Tucson, but they told me it's not like that, you know. I was quoting the Brother Brown poem, as "I'm lonesome, all lonesome, in the far away Catalina Mountain where the coyotes are blown." I said, "No, it's not coyote, it's coyote." You understand? So, forgive my accent, but I believe you understand when I'm speaking. Is that right? Amen. God is a God of variety. He gives us different languages. But this message brought us together, and we can understand one another. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So, we are so grateful. Tonight, I'm not going to say anything different than what you have been learning all the time, but we want to gather our youth and remind you of why you are here. That's all we want to do tonight. So without wasting of time, I want our youth to give me uninvited attention. I want to tell you something tonight that will keep you very strong. That's the same song I want to sing. That's what I've wrote down after the sermon. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. I believe the Holy Ghost is moving through our song leader. I've enjoyed the song ministration. We thank, appreciate the musicians and all of you for coming. Without you, there will be no church. And God will surely reward your sacrifice. Amen and amen. So, tonight, I want us to rise up to our feet while we read our scriptures. And then you sit down. Amen and amen. We are reading from Judges. Judges chapter 16, verse 15. Judges 15, verse 16. A very sad, interesting story over there about this young man called Samson. As strong as the sun. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Are we there? Say amen. Amen. And she said unto him, "How canst thou say, I love thee, Hallelujah. That powerful word, I love thee. That is what is confusing so many youth in this end time. I love thee. I love thee. Amen. When thy heart is not with me, thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and have not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily, that's the pressure, he pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there have not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be weak and be like any other man. Which shows that you are not like any other person. It's a real testimony that you are not like them. Is that right? And when Delilah saw that, no, any other person. Yeah, and when Delilah saw that he have told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come this once, for he have shown me all his heart. Then the lord of the Philistines came unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man and caused him to shave off his 7 locks of head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistine be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as any other time before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord have departed from him. But the Philistine took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. How be it? The hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the Lord of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their God, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their heart was merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel these pillars whereon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full with men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld why Samson makes sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. If we can pray that prayer tonight as a youth, the Lord will answer your prayer. And avenge me of my 2 eyes. And Samson took a hold of the middle pillars upon which the house stood, on which he was borne up, and that the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they that he slew in his life. Shall we turn to John chapter 15, verse 12? Very sad story. Very, very sad story. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved thee. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Is that right? Amen. Shall we bow down our heads? Our Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to speak to admonish our youth tonight, Lord, I pray that you come down, just as you came down for this young man, and come and help our youth. They are our future, and they are our strength. And therefore, Lord, we commit them into your hands. Never allow the enemy to snatch them away, but bring them back into the fold. For we have a promise that we shall be saved and our house. And therefore, tonight we claim every one of them. Tonight, take me out of the way and have your own way and help me one more time. Without you, I can do nothing. And at the end, you take all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. So tonight, my topic is the concept of false love. Into bracket, one more time, Lord. Hallelujah. The concept of false love. We want to advise our youth of the challenges that is ahead of them. Young people, we have been where you are, but you have never been where we are. And therefore, don't think we are cheating you, that we have roamed the world and caused so many things, and now we are disturbing you not to also go and enjoy. There's nothing enjoyment down there. And God in heaven knows that the place your parents went until God's grace grabbed them, when you go there, you will perish. And therefore, by predestination, he placed you into the womb of a believer. That when you are born, especially those of you born in the message, is a privilege. And therefore, you must thank God. You have no battle to fight. You are just born into the message by predestination. Hallelujah. And therefore, you must give thanks to God. Some were beaten because of this message. Some parents refused to pay their children's school fees because they believed this message. And we have to take over to pay their school fees. They were persecuted and they were beaten. Yes, sir. The type of right you have here, we have no doubt right over there. And I want to tell you, when you come to Christ, you have to leave your right and become a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I was talking to a military officer before I left and traveled here. He told me when they went to the camp, they begin to turn their left, right. Left, right. And they told them, you know the meaning of that is you left your right. You left your right. When you come to the military, you have to leave your right. You left your right. Yeah, you are under the military rule. Your dressing change. Your diet change. Your waking up time change. Your sleeping time change. Your walking change. You always left your right. Hallelujah. I got this message when I was 24 years old. And I was already a preacher in the denomination. My father is a pastor. And he tried to groom me into the message, into the denominational world. He sent me to the Bible school. When he saw that I am a great footballer, he destroyed my football career and sent me to Bible school to come and replace him in the church. But immediately I finished the Bible school, the message snatched me. Hallelujah. And I threw away all my certificates. And from that time, oh, I have no time to tell you my testimony. When God showed me the mystery cloud in the middle of the sea, when I don't know anything about this message. So I got the message as a youth. And therefore, for 38 years, I am believing the same thing. And wherever I travel, the power of God have kept me. As a navigator, as we travel across the seas to different parts of the world, the people are taken over by women, by prostitutes. They come into the ship. But this message kept me clean. And if it's able to keep me, it can keep you. Hallelujah. Thou dying lamp, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. This message shall never lose its power. It can keep you clean. And you will win victory over every temptation of the devil. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So this story we are talking about here, It has become a tug of war between parents and their children. And this false love, the devil has turned it upside down to think that is the true love. And when the parents are trying to teach their children, they become enemies. And they think you are bothering us. They have their great grammar. You are sitting on my self-esteem. I have feelings also. You are sitting on my fundamental human right. That's a fundamental human wrong. Is that right? Now, true love is the one that seeks your welfare. That is looking for your greatness. It's looking for where the cameras will follow you in your wedding ceremony. That is a true love. The true love is the one who seeks your welfare. The one that pay your school fees is the true love. Not the one that destroy your education. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, you are not like any ordinary person. God has chosen you for a purpose. And therefore you must fulfill that purpose. If we didn't yield as youth to the message, today you will not have preachers. Is that right? Because God caught us when we are young. And we yielded to his calling. That's why today you have preachers who are preaching the message. Your pastor is one of them, preached so many years. And therefore, we are at your age when we started preaching. And I want to tell you the story of this prophet. God can call you at any age. At the age of 5, God is talking to him. At the age of 20, God showed him a miracle. God can deal with you at every age. Hallelujah. And therefore, true love has been turned into false love. And false love has been turned into real love. Oh, I love you. You are the sugar in my cocoa. You are the butter in my bread. I love you. The way you are behaving, you look as if you don't love me. If you love me, you're supposed to come and visit me. The way you are behaving, it's like you hate me. They are pressing you on the WhatsApp, and they press you on Instagram, and they press you. So to show that you love him, you break God's word. If I don't see you, I will die. Let him die. That's not a true love. That's a false love. And Samson is a victim of this great deception going on. Where their friends who invite them for games, invite them for poker, invite them, I don't know the games you people play here. They invite them for clubs. They invite them for discos. They think these people love them. And those who are saying, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Let's go to church. Let's shape your future. I want you to be correct. They rather become an enemies. I won't sit down in the house like a wallflower. I also have feelings, okay? False love. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. I believe, I don't know what is happening here, but we are suffering the same in Africa. Hallelujah. When our children become our enemies, when we are trying to correct them and shape them, they think we hate them. You see, is it not true? I believe some of you are facing the same issue. They think you don't like them. They don't want us to enjoy. They have tied us in a rope. And they put us in a four square box. And they don't want us to turn around. Me, I have my fundamental human rights. Okay. There is a way that seemeth right in the eyes of these young people. But the end is death. Hallelujah. The end is death. So, hallelujah. I was seen open this afternoon. In a big arena of this guy called Samson. And I want to show you this guy is a perfect type of the end time youth that is preparing to marry. Samson, look, this message has opened every scripture. The Bible has become a new book. And mysteries are just being unfolding. Every scripture you read, you will see the end time people over there. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Yes, sir. Don't break God's word to make somebody smile. It is better he gets offended and I am happy. Then he is happy and he got you into trouble. Is that right? Now, Samson is a perfect type of the end time bride. Israel have sinned. And God has put them into the hands of their enemies. And they are being oppressed. And God is looking for a deliverer. That's how our theme starts this evening. God is looking for a deliverer. And he saw a young woman called Manoah. Hallelujah. No, Manoah wife. And then he went to the wife. And he showed him, you are going to born a son. That son will be a separate son. To do the work of a deliverer for me. Number one, he shall not drink. Is that sound familiar? Oh, hallelujah. If there are smoke in those days, they will tell him, don't drink, don't smoke, and don't defile yourself in any way, because when you grow older, I have a work for you to do. And in this end time, when our prophet was born, the same angel came there with the same instruction. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't defile yourself, because when you grow older, you have a work to do. And I want to tell you, young man in this tabernacle, don't never drink, don't never smoke, don't defile yourself, because God have a work for you to do. Hallelujah. So Samson is a perfect type of this end time believer, a young man who is preparing to marry. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Yes, sir. The angel of the Lord appeared. He was born under a sign. Amen and amen. And they named him Samson, which is in the Hebrew tongue Shemesh, as strong as the sun. And in this end time, he said, behold, the day is coming that shall burn like an oven. All the ungodly people will be burned. But they that fear the name of the Lord, the Son of Righteousness, shall shine with healing in his wings. There is a son in this end time. Oh, sinner brother, sinner son. It is the rising of the sun. Therefore, come into the light. If you are in darkness tonight, this story will tell you it is not too late. You can still come out. Hallelujah. When you fall into sin, don't run away from church. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. When the sinner plunges into it, it will lose all your guilty stain. Like the sun. But there is always a but. The but is the one that separates the sinner from the believer. But those that fear the name of the Lord. God never destroyed a sinner with the believer. There is always a but. How about this Samson? Hallelujah. Number two, he was equipped. This Samson is from the tribe of Dan. And in the tribe of Dan, according to the Bible, they are the last battalion. The Bible called them enormous. He called them the real reward. When Israel is in a battle, they always stay at the behind. And when the wounded, they collect the wounded and the dead. And when there is attack from behind, they face it. And in this end time, we are the last church age. We are the one who stay back and collect all the loose ends. Hallelujah. Samson, a type. And Abraham said the tribe of Dan, they are symbol. They always preach in the north. And their symbol is eagle. And in this end time, oh, hallelujah. We are also the last church age. And our cherubim is eagle. Samson, a perfect type of the end time young man. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he is the last judge. And we are the last battalion. The last church age. There's no more messages coming. This is the full stop. Hallelujah. So when we paralyze something, oh, shall we paralyze him a little longer? Hallelujah. Before I start this film, horrible film we are going to watch today. Hallelujah. One day he was going to marry in Timnah. And the Bible said that one God approved it. Because God was seeking an occasion to destroy the Philistines. And as he was going with his father to pay the dowry, the Bible said on the way a lion roared. Oh, hallelujah. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
A lion roared. When Jesus took the book and was coming down to pay our dowry, to claim us to himself, a lion roared. Hallelujah. And the Bible said when the lion roared to something, he catch him and break him like a kid. A kid is like a young, a small animal, like a lamb or a deer, a kid. And when John was told, the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to take the book and to open the seals thereof, he said, when I turned, I saw a lamb.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And Samson went and paid the price. When he came back and going again, he saw the carcass of a lion. And there was a honey inside. And he took the honey and started to eat.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
In this end time, we are commanded to take the book.
Yeah.
And when we eat it, it will be in our mouth as what? Honey.
Yeah.
Then he went to the place. And then the last one, he said, I will put forth a riddle. And the Bible says he put forth a mystery. And for 6 days, nobody find the meaning of that mystery.
Right, yeah.
Oh, brother. And the Bible says on the seventh day.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. This is a perfect type of our time. On the seventh day, in the evening time, he shall be light. About the evening time. Hallelujah. In the evening time, the people realize this mystery can only be revealed as he promised only to his bride. And so the people press the wife. Show her this mystery or we're going to kill you. And then he consulted the husband. And Samson revealed that mystery in the evening time at the sunset on the seventh day. Doesn't that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So Samson is this end time young guy who is preparing to marry. That's where the devil comes in and cause so many troubles. But a young man that can be successful is the one that listens to elderly people. When you listen to them, you will never do the mistake they did before. It becomes much easier for you to navigate this world. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So give me quote number one. Quote number one. Brother Bram shared the story in the message one more time. Once more, he painted a picture. He said it is a story that he wished it has never been told. He said he wished it should have been never been written in the Bible. Brother Bram said he break his heart to see such a story that we have to come and read it after 2,000 years. Such a disgrace and a shame. Brother Bram said, and they all rise up to look forward and see what was taking place. Because the main event was being brought to them. And what did they see? A blind man being led by a little boy. The horse echoed all afternoon with drunken revelry. How that they passed the whiskey and their high drinks, their fine painted up jeweled women and great dignitary warlords all and all. It was a great celebration. They were celebrating victory. Oh, how I hate to say this. The victory that the fish god Dagon has got over the servant of God. It just go plump down into the bottom of me to have to say that. But it is the truth. Celebrating such a way as that, a victory over Jehovah's servant. What a shameful thing. Drinking reverie painted women and jeweled up, and the great dignitaries, fires was burning under their fish god. And what a celebration might have been. But the heartbreaking part, as thousands of years later, we have to think back of such a great as that. And when the great God of heaven, when he had purpose in his heart to destroy the nation because they were hidden, and he had sent a man to do the job. And here the fish god idol was celebrating victory over Jehovah's servants. You see, amens are not coming again. It's such a sad story, an embarrassing story that the prophet is narrating over here. Jehovah never lost. The servant that he sent to do it lost the victory. What a sad, what a sight, what a shameful thing it was. The Lord led a stumbling man, blind man, across the hall to this big, great post whereon the great upside down mushroom or umbrella like set, where that doesn't just kill you. Nearly to have to look at that, to think, what could this story never really should have been told? But it was probably told for our admonition. It was told for you to know, but Abraham said, God have a time that his mercy runs out. I'll read it for you. When God is dealing with you as a young person and you are not listening, you go, you come back the same. You go, you come back the same. There is a time his patience will run out. Yes, sir. Amen. Now, it was written for our admonition. It is wrote that way, humiliated, broken. Maybe you are the same tonight, but I want to tell you there is a chance. There is a chance for you to come up, humiliated, defeated, right between two posts of the building. What a symbol of the church of this day. What a symbol it is of a fallen race of people that have sold out to the world. The very thing that they are here to conquer. Now, God didn't save you so that you dress nicely and come to church. That's not the reason why he saved you. There is a battle going on. A battle between God and Satan. A battle between good and evil. And God wants to recruit you to be a member of the armed forces that will fight this battle on his behalf. Tonight, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Quote number 1B. Quoting from the message. Oh, hallelujah. A prisoner of Christ. Brother Abraham said, listen, we are in the end time. And I will say this with reverence and respect. As the last couple of minutes is floating by. He said, look, what God, to my opinion, will do and must do and will do in these last days is to find a tool for the harvest. Hallelujah. He's finding a tool for the harvest. He got to find a tool to thrash the floor. And a farmer, when he go to his harvest, he have to have a tool to do it with. Certainly. He got to have a sharp sickle or something, some instrument to thrash the grain, and the harvest is ripe. And I want all of us to pray this prayer with the prophet. Can we do it? Ready, go. God, take us in your hand. Make us a bond servant of your love. Use us for a tool to bring into realization this sinful and cursed earth that we are living in today. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be an example that Jesus didn't die in vain. Be an example that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be a tool in his hand for the world to know the dying lamp. He never loses power until all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be a tool. He saved you to use you as a tool to fight the enemy in this battle. Hallelujah. Oh my. And he said, for myself, let's continue the prayer. For myself, God, let me be a prisoner. If all my brethren turn me down, if all my friends turn me down, I want to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ and his word. Is that right? Oh my, they say all seamen. Every country they go, they chase women. I've been a seaman for 30 years. I never chase any woman. Because of the message of the hour that is in my heart. Everywhere I go, I preach the gospel. I have a tabernacle in the ship. I preach Sunday morning. I preach Wednesday evening. I preach Friday evening. In the ship. Yes, sir. Don't follow them. You are not like them. That's what Samson don't want to understand. The mother told him, under no circumstance should a believer marry an unbeliever. There are women in Israel. Hallelujah. And he told the mother, he pleased me well. I have a feeling. You are sitting. I said, look, you are born under a sign. You are not an ordinary person. Don't try to be like them. I want to tell you, they're jealous of you. They wish they can be like you. And when they are not able, they try to drag you into the mud with them. Turn them down. They are jealous about you. They are all spoiled up. They are all destroyed. And when they look at you, they look at your life. They look at your dressing. They look at the glory of God shining on you. They would like to drag you down. Don't give in to them. Yes, sir. Amen and amen. Brother Bram said he have a Nazarite vow. He has been separated out of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Hallelujah. Our everything is different. When they see us, they shock. When we also see them, we shock. It's shock versus shock. Yes, sir. Back home, I used to preach down there. When they see us, they shock. What type of church is that? In 2026. And they don't wear short skirts. Their women don't wear slacks. They don't expose their breasts. They dress so decently. What church is that? Their eyes are not open. Are they not in 2026? In the universities, when they see our ladies, they shock. And when we also see them, say, hey, what type of church is that? What church are they going? With their painted faces, with their breasts showing, with their thighs showing. What type of, so when we also see them, we also shock. They must copy you. You should not copy them. Yes, sir. Brother Bram said, when you expose yourself like that, when men see you, you can be a holy person, but you will answer for an adultery at the judgment day. That's Jesus Christ, the Jehovah of the Old Testament. The only man who never used that, saith the Lord. Say, you have heard of old that Moses said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look upon a woman and you lust after her, you have committed adultery. I say, have you heard Jesus said that, saith the Lord, before? No. Because he is God himself. He can forgive sins. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. So separate yourself from the things of the world. So then, he went ahead. What he didn't know is that there is a program. What you don't know is there is a plan of the devil to bring you to their level. If you don't know, I am reminding you that you are their target. And all that they are doing to lure you is not a true love. I don't know how you go about it here, but over there, when they say, I love you, when you tell them, come and see my pastor, then their BP go high. Any brother that fear pastor is not a true love. Come and see my parents, they don't want that. That's a true sign that they don't love you. If he loves you, he will love to see your parents. So let's define some of this love. True love gives. False love takes. True love is patience. False love is no patience at all. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I'm beginning to feel fine. True love versus false love. False love frustrates. True love, he gives you joy. Hallelujah. True love educates you. False love destroys your education. Is that right? True love, he wants your glory. False love wants your shame. You become devastated until you couldn't even come to church. Until when you hear pastor preach, your heart is begin to condemn you. That is a false love. They put you into that. They call it enjoyment. There's no joy over there. I tell you, it's suffering. It's heartbreaking spree. People are shooting one another, killing one another, breaking one another's heart. That's not a true love. You want a true love? The Bible says, greater love than this, that the man laid down his life for his friends. True love give you eternal life. False love send you to hell. Shun the very appearance of evil. Yes, sir. True love. True love is seeking your well-being. He seeks your interest, not his interest. Hallelujah. First love. There is a thin line between love and lust. They look alike. From the beginning, they look the same. But the end is a big difference. The end is devastating. Now, Samson have no idea the deadly poison behind that conversation. I love you. I love you. And the Bible says he press him daily with his words. It's like you don't love me. It's like you don't love me. So to prove that you love him, you must break God's word. God have a greater love for you. He wants you to have an expected end. Say, I know the thought I have for you. Not the thought of evil. Your parents don't have evil thought for you. Your pastors don't have evil thought for you. They want your better end. Therefore, from today, listen to them. Is that right? True love. The devil have blinded them. And this young man have no idea what he's going to. Now, Brother Abraham said, let's turn the camera from Israel to Gaza. These guys were afraid of Samson. So far as he keep the seven locks, which are the seven mysteries, the Brabram said the seven mystery, all hell is against those mysteries, but that is our stand. He said the bride is standing on it. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. So far as he kept those seven locks, oh, hallelujah, a lion roar, he break him like a kid. When he was obeying the message, nothing can be able to overcome him. One day, 1,000 Philistines came around. When he was keeping the message, hallelujah, he break them with a jawbone of an ass. Brother, Brabram preach a message. What is in your hands? Oh, a jawbone of an ass. Hallelujah. He break brass helmet. When you are obeying this message and you are holding these mysteries, in a pure conscience, you will break every enemy. Brethren, say you will defeat the devil at anywhere, anytime, under any condition. As a young man who is believing the word, he never let go of the word. One day, the Philistines came there, and they see the parent produce something, or we will kill all of you. They went to him. Samson, please calm down. He said, swear unto me that you yourself will not kill me. Just bind me and give me to them. And they did so. And they were going and they were jubilating just as they are doing right now. And the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he tore the chains into pieces. And he killed them hip and bones. That is when he was keeping the message. Brother, when you are keeping this message, nothing can stand your way. He was so strong. One day he went to Gaza. Even in his fallen state, when he was still carrying the mistress, they said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He carried the Gaza gate. He shook it from the concrete and lifted it up and climbed a mountain with it when he was obeying the message. Ha! What happened now? These people were in Gaza. How can we get this young believer? How can we strip him of his power? How can we disarm her? What can we do? And people begin to bring ideas that, look, his weak point is women. His weak point is pornography. His weak point is all this evil stuff he has been watching on the screen. Today they have it on their phone. And they hide under their blankets in their room and watch the same thing on the television. There is an eye watching you. Watching you. Watching you. Every step that your faith will pursue. There is an eye. There is an all-seeing eye watching you. Brother, you cannot hide from this pillar of fire. And you cannot hide sin in this message. Because this message is light. And they say, let's call a beautiful woman to go and lure him so that they pay him. Now, some say have no idea. And young man, young woman, you have no idea what the devil is planning against you. And they pay this lady. And the lady come around. Samson, I love thee. Samson say, why at all they say we should not marry unbeliever? This is a believer. He also go to Pentecostal church. We all believe the same God. We are not the same. Can I repeat it again? We are not the same. Abraham said, under no circumstance should a believer marry an unbeliever. He make it more specific. He said the believer must marry the one who believes exactly what he believes. It's a direct quote. I believe you know about it. He know the reason why. Young man, obey. When you obey this message, you will be great. And you will be greater. Let me give you a testimony. There was a young guy in our church who have a wife who doesn't believe the message. And he always attacking the wife. You people are unbelievers. You people don't know anything. Your church, you people will go to hell. We are the super church. We are the great ones. And you know what happened? He fell into adultery. And he came to pastor. And I was there in the office. Pastor told him, the prophet said, before God can forgive you, you must confess to your wife. He said, Jesus. Ow! My wife that I've been condemning, now I will go to him to tell him this? No, I cannot do that. No! When I do that, he came to my house 3 times. Say, Brother Philemon, you think I should do that? I told him, since I start following this message I've never given an instruction that make that brought a negative result. Never. Obey it. He took a deep breath. You see, you don't have to boast too much, eh? He boasted too much. And then he said, okay, Pastor, if you say this message can help me, I will go. He traveled to the village. He went and saw the wife. At early dawn, he called the wife. He said, this is what I have done. The wife looked at him. He said, so you see, it's not usual. So the woman was shocked. So why are you telling me? Are you telling me too that it will hurt me? Why don't you hide it from me? And he told him, the message we are believing. The prophet said, before God can forgive you, your wife has to forgive you, and vice versa. The woman said, wow, okay, I forgive you. He said, from your heart, he said, from my heart. He came back to Accra. He sat in the office. Brother Samson called me. He said, he have done it. I said, no, he lied. I don't believe this guy have done it. The way it was weighed on him. I said, Pastor, can you give me your wife number? He said, yes. I called the wife. Can you come to church Sunday? He said, yes, I will come. She came. She came and sat down. What did your wife tell you? Your husband tell you? He said, he told me he has fallen. And what did you say? I don't know why he was telling me, but I forgive him. Truly, he said, true. Then we pray for them. They left. And their wife sat down and said, my goodness. So is that the way your message teach you? From today, me and my children, we are coming for baptism. Amen. Hallelujah. And they were all baptized. I tell you, when you believe this message fully, you can overcome every obstacle. No man can be able to stand before you. Yes, sir. They are in the message for about 15 years now. Everybody safe. It took God to humble that man. So he said, I can't understand. Yes, God being misunderstood. His ways are different. His wonders to perform. God works in a mysterious way. And therefore, some say have no idea. All the I love you that appear on his Facebook page, that appear on his WhatsApp. He don't know how deadly poison they are. They thought it's a real love. Oh, this man loved me. Then they press him. And then they buy him Infinix. And they buy him Samsung Galaxy. And they press him. Hey, this woman will kill me. Oh, let him die. Hallelujah. And as they press him, then something decided. Okay, what can I do now? This woman is pressing me. It looks as if I don't love her. Maybe I'm going to lose her. Maybe when I lose her, I'm not going to get anybody like that again. So let's do some trials. You don't play games with this issue we are talking about. It's your life and death. It's the rest of your life. And Brother Bram said, when you marry somebody who is not supposed to be your husband, it is your own fault. And he said, you will suffer the rest of your life. Let's play some games. Let's try something, some hide and seek. It's okay if I can be bound with a new cords. And then I think I will be weak. And he was asleep. The woman bind him 7 new cords. Something! The Philistine upon you. Hey! What? Where are they? Say, Samson, you don't love me. You don't love me. You see, you don't love me. She began to cry. To break him down. Oh, brother, don't listen to their cry. It's a deadly cry. Hallelujah. Don't listen to their cry. It's a hypocritical cry. They are full of lust. They are not full of love. If they are full of love, they will do the right thing. I love one preacher in South Africa. He said, when you are going to marry a man who doesn't pay tithe, don't marry him. He said, don't marry a thief. We are not giving our daughters to thieves who can steal God's money. Can you imagine? I laugh. I say, yes. We don't give our daughters to thieves. If the man is not faithful to God, how are you sure he can be faithful to you? Amen. Then he tried another one. I said, Samson, what is wrong with you? You show her the first one, she tried it. You saw the second one, she tried it. What are you doing? Then it's okay. What can come? What can come? And it will come. Some of the consequences, you will never snap out of it. Brother Bram said, I see them come to my office to cry and to confess. We will pray for you. God will forgive you. But he said, that scar will remain with you the rest of your life. Don't start before you struggle to stop. Don't start smoking before we begin to waste our prayer on you to stop. It's better you don't start drinking. Don't start drugs because you cannot stop it. You see them on the street, junkies? They started. Somebody warned them, they didn't listen. And therefore, don't you start what you cannot stop. Amen and amen. And he said, okay, if my locks will be shaven from me, then I will be weak. Then I will become like ordinary person. Now, listen to what the prophet said. Do you know the toboggan slide? How many know that? This prophet is a wonderful man. He said there is a rider who wanted somebody to take him across the ridge. And there are people there who are just having a good time. He said, me, I can drive 6 inches to the valley. I can take risk. I am the best driver. And another man came. He said, don't mind him. I can drive 4 inches. I can go close and shove, close shoving. When I'm driving, I don't do lotto driving. Lotto driving, when you lose, you die. When you win, you go. Don't take risk. Is that right? And another man came. I can go 2 inches. And there was one standing at the far corner, looking at them strange, kind of strange. And the man said, what about you? He said, no. Me, I fear. Oh. Me, I don't go close. Oh. I hug the mountain. I make sure I am so far. And Brother Brown said, hallelujah. Quote number 3. He said, don't see how close to get to sin without sinning. Don't play games. Brother Brown told of the story of the driver that ascended the mountain. And then he conclude by saying, he said, I hug them all. I don't take chances. And he said, you take me across. Then Brother Bram said, don't see how close you can get to sin without sinning. But see how long, how far. They are my friends. Oh, we are just friends. They are colleagues. We finished school together. We are on the school platform. We are organizing get together. They will drink beer. I will drink my Fanta. Brother Bram said, don't go that far. Don't compromise. Let them get offended and you'll be free with God. Don't get how close. Hallelujah. To see. He said, see how far you can stay away from it. That's the way it is. Keep up the territory all together. That's the way I want a church. That the church that I want to belong to. The one that shows the very appearance of sin. That's the church I want to belong to. Get away from it. He said, well, our girls, our men, they just have a little clean phone. Brother Brown said, oh my, clean phone? What Americans call clean phone? It's a dirty phone. Oh, we are just friends. Oh, we are just, if you are just friends, hallelujah. The friends, just friend, can be so dangerous. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he showed the lady. And he said, Philistines, come. Now I got him. And they came around. Hallelujah. And they came. And the Bible says, she afflicted him. He slept on her lard. And he was so happy. This is woman. Israel, their women are not beautiful. They don't dress sharp. They always wear long dresses. They cover their neck. They don't look attractive. This is a real woman. Yeah, very happy. And it was, they shaved all his head, Sakura. And when they finished, said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He rise up. Yeah. Something is wrong. The Bible says, and he wist not that the Lord have departed from him. Let me check something. Where do Jesus? Hey! Who did this? He said, we got you. When you went to Gaza to a prostitute, God warned you. When you went to Timna, God warned you. When you went here, God warned you. He still protected you. When you went to sleep with a prostitute, you are able to still gather the gate. God is warning you. But now, his patience is run out. Give me the next quote. His patience, he ran out. Hallelujah. Quoting from the message, just one more time. Brother Bram said, his patience ran out. He said what? When a man in his line of duty of God, there is no gate. Nothing can stand before him. Nothing can stand his way. The devil tried to fence God's man. And one day, with the Red Sea, but he went right through it. Just the same. When as long as a man is in the service of God, as long as anointing and blessing is upon him, he shouldn't fear nothing. Because he is promised he will be with us. And nothing will bother us by no means. But this is an example that happened when God, his long suffering, finally wears out with you. You have to live your life with borders. If you live your life without borders, you will born children without fathers. Is that right? A believer must have a border. And your border is the word of God. That is your defense. Samson went through all these things. God protected him. Now we reach this stage. God said, no, I'm not doing it again. He is taking me for granted. He is playing tricks with me. Now I will let him face the full consequences of deliberately ignoring God's word. He said, his long suffering ran out. And remember, his patience have an end. God's patience have an end. If he have protected you to this far, today change your mind. Today change your mind. If he have been mercy unto you until this day, don't take it for granted. His mercy have an end. This is what the prophet is teaching us today in this lesson called Once More. His patience ran out. Amen. Now something was doing wrong the very night that they have me down there. But finally, God got enough of it. Are you reading with me? God got what? Enough of it. He couldn't correct him. My prayer is that God never let this Pentecostal church get to that place where God's patience wore out with you. Don't get to that level when God's patience wore out with you. God is merciful, but he is also God of justice. Is that right? He will send messengers. Look at the way he will send messengers. He will send some people from Africa. He will send one guy from Ghana. He will come and be warning you. Your pastor will be talking to you. The ministers will be talking. Your parents will be having family altars. They will be warning you. But one day, his patience will run out. And that day, Brother Branham said, you will shout, Papa, and Papa is not there. You will shout, Mama, and Mama will not be there. You will say, Jesus, and Jesus will not be there. And he said, I am praying that you should not get to that level until God's patience run out. Today, that is called today. If you can call upon him, he will save you. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. He will send messengers. We have taught this week, rising up prophet down through the ages, foretelling of his word, bringing his word back, and then you continually walk away from it, you will find yourself blinded too. Powerless, helpless, defeated. And I am afraid that we are getting to that. See, Samson fell for glamour. The very thing that the church today is falling for. Glamour. What a pity it is to see these things happening. Hallelujah. Once more, quote number 4. Brother Branham say, the devil strip him of the very defense that he have. He become powerless. They arrested him. They slap him. He couldn't slap back. They pulled out his two eyes with blood oozing. And God was standing there looking at him. His patience have run out. Young man, young lady, Nigerian man will say, shine your eyes. Be careful. Be careful. There's nothing good out there. Here is peace. Here is joy. Here is eternal life. Here your end will be glorious. Here will take you to rapture. Here, in here we have no continuing city. We are looking for one to come. You have seen Brother Samson stand behind this pulpit. Today, he is no more. Anything can happen any moment from now. Therefore, there should be nothing between you and your Savior. Is that right? But now, look at him. Quote number 4. He is in a terrible condition. Bound. Because he compromised to a woman. He compromised to a guy. That think he loves him. A guy that think without him he cannot live. Meanwhile, she is lying. She have collected bribe to bring you down to their level. And today, Satan have given them bribe to bring you down. When you came down to their level, now they bind him. They send him to their prison yard. They begin to jubilate. Some weed smokers are jubilating because they bring a daughter of God down. It should never happen. Don't allow that to happen. Don't put your parents to shame with all the investment they have invested in you, with all the love they have loved you. Don't put them to shame. Hallelujah. Terrible condition. All because he compromised to a woman. That's what done it. She stripped him of his power. She kept trying to find out where his strength is. She kept trying. They are still trying. Those messages they are sending you, they are trying. They are trying. They keep on trying to find out where his strength laid. She knows he was a big man, but he have big men too. But this Delilah, she was a real Jezebel. She know how to work on him, to woo him, to woo her to her, and say that she loved him. But all the time, she was trying to fish along where his strength lay. And she got it. And now he became a trophy. But Abraham said that's a saddest story. It shouldn't have even been written in the Bible. And young people, it shouldn't happen here. And now he became an entertainer for the idol worshippers. And they were singing, Dagon ye, Dagon ye, 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 Dagon ye, 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 imama, 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 Dagon ye, 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 imama, imama. And Brother Bram said, it go plumb down to his stomach. That the God, the man that God has sent to do the job, you are a tool to do that job, to win people to this message. They shouldn't win you. You should win them. Yes, sir. And now he was entertaining. But what did the Bible say? His hair began to grow again. Oh, hallelujah. If somebody has been shaving here, I want to tell you there is a hope that that hair can grow again. Amen. Hallelujah. The hair began to grow. And there was a great celebration. Look, God loves you. His love is an elective love. Brother Bram say, when you fall, don't run away from church. He said, if you still have the desire to come to church, come on. Go to your pastor. Tell him, Pastor, this has happened to me. I want you. The Bible says, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just. Look, God cannot lie. He said, I will forgive you. Not even forgive you, but to cleanse you. Not only cleanse you, but to justify you. Justification means, he said, you have not done it in the first place. You can be white as snow. He said, a sincere man is not a sinless man. But he's the one who is sincere to confess his sins. And when he's forgiven, he becomes sinless. His love is elective. The fact that you are sitting down here even shows that God loves you. There's no way. And they led him, a blind man, coming around. The young boy was leading him. Such a great man. Brother Bram say, in closing, let's change the camera to Samson. And then we'll switch the camera to the Philistines. Oh, my. Samson mind. He said, my mother told me if I should have listened to my pastor, if I should have listened to my father, this thing would not have happened. I'm so sad. Look at me. I cannot see anything again. Just because I disobey God one, I disobey him two, I disobey him until his patience ran out on me. But God, if you can hear me one more time, Lord. Just one more time. God and God begin to come around. Look, God loves repentance. I say he gets excited. When Ahab killed Naboth, and Elijah cursed him. And God said, I will kill everybody. Every man that peace against the wall shall die. And God shall eat every one of them. And Ahab began to repent. God called the prophet and said, look. Look at how sober he has become. God gets excited when you repent. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. God loves repentance. And God called his angel. He said, look at my son. He is calling me again. But I have a heart to give him another chance. God have a heart to give you another chance tonight. He said, one more time, Lord, let me die with these Philistines. And God heard his prayer. And the strength came back. And he held the two pillars. Oh, my God. And the Bible says, the people he killed at his death is more than those he killed in his lifetime. Brother Bram said, it was written there for our example. It was written for our admonition. It was written. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loved. His love is his love and not your love. Now, I'm quoting from number 8, exposition. I say, and now he says to his own, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That is the love that people don't understand. If you look at your child to go anyway, oh, he is of age. Leave him alone. Don't disturb the children. Okay. That is not love. I know I'm preaching to Americans, real Americans. Leave him alone. He is of age. It is not love. Love is rebuke. He said that there's a subject of amendment. It's in mind. You are not killing him. You are not rebuking him to shame him. But there must be subject of amendment. You have a good mind of telling him you are wrong. Don't tell him it's okay when he is wrong. No, tell him. That is the real life. That's what the prophet is saying. That's why I say, people say, we in Africa, we preach the message too hard. Thank God the message doesn't come from Africa. It comes from here. In Tucson, here. Oh, the king's sword came down here. And we are preaching it like he brought it. Nobody should blame us. That is not love. I'm quoting your prophet, who is 100% American. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And he said, to rebuke is to reprove. Are you reading it? To reprove is to expose with a view of correction. Chasten does not mean punish. It means discipline, because the subject of amendment is in your mind. You want something good out of that child. You don't hate him. If you say let him go, you hate him. When you say, okay, you are wrong. I say you are wrong. You love him. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me read my last quote. Quote number 9. But now the blood of Christ, once shed, cleanses until the day of redemption. Are you reading with me? All the way through. Once perfected, through the sanctification process of the Holy Spirit, by the blood of the Lord Jesus, that believer is anchored until the day of redemption. What? He said, yes, sir. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. He said, don't that take the scare out of it now? God is with you. Although you sin, you got an advocate. That's exactly what Samson did. Although he sinned, but he know there is an advocate. He know there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. He know when he cry one more time, the Lord will hear him. How many will cry tonight? One more time, Lord. Hallelujah. He said you got an advocate. Tell God you are sorry. And come back right. Come back. Tell God you are sorry and do what? Come back. He said that's the way to do it. Don't think you are cast off forever. As long as you still have enough desire to come to this church, come on. Is that not what he said? Yes, sir. Don't run away from church. There is salvation here. There is mercy here. God will see you through. And tomorrow you will not even remember what you have done before. Just listen. He said, God is still with you. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, young man, tonight, I don't care how far you have gone, you can say, Lord, one more time. Lord, one more time. How many will pray that prayer? How many will promise God that God will be the young people that will rise up after these old men are gone? We will preach this message with power and anointing. We will do the work of God. I want to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. God, reveal yourself to me as we stand on our feet tonight. God, prepare me to be a sanctuary. How many will pray that prayer? Lord, one more time, Lord. I will not disappoint you, Lord. Have mercy upon me, Lord, and cleanse me one more time. Amen. Lord, prepare me, hallelujah, to be a sanctuary. Let the musician come. Pure and holy. Just be sincere in your heart today. Tried and true. Oh. Oh, with thanksgiving, hallelujah, I will be early, even, hallelujah, sanctified. Sanctuary, Lord. Oh, let's pray tonight, Lord. Somebody cry unto the Lord. That, Lord, I'm committing this young man into your care. The way you call us when we are young. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I commit them into your hands. Mark them, Lord. We have a promise that we shall be safe and our house. Then Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And therefore, Lord, I commit them into your hands. No demon should snatch them. Don't let any of them go wayward. Even those who are already wayward, there is a power that can bring them back. We commit them into your hands. We claim all our children. We claim every one of them. Let the power of God go up there and capture them and bring them back. Blind them to the things of the world. Open their eyes to the word of God. Let them be a tool, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I commit them into your hands, Lord. I pray that your presence should be upon them. Let the grace of God, let the love of God found them. One more time, Lord. Once more, Lord. Hear their prayer tonight. I commit them into your hands. I commit all the church into your hands. Grant their heart desire. Heal their sicknesses. Bring their children home. Let those who are looking for husband look for Holy Ghost filled ones. Let the grace of God, nobody should come to their life to ruin their life, but rather to build their life for their salvation. They are in your hands, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh Lord, prepare. Hallelujah, to be a son. God bless you.